Joining us now, Josh Cooper, at Joshua Cooper on Twitter, editor for Yahoo's Puck Daddy.
Can you turn off the TV, please?
No, like we're keeping George it on. Springer. You're going to get to watch the celebration and everything. Josh, thanks for doing this. The Leafs and everything about them has captured the minds of Toronto sports fans once again, especially Leaf fans. But, you know, when we think of Austin Matthews, he certainly won the Calder Trophy. And I don't know where the Leafs would be had they drafted anyone else this past last June.
Oh God, you guys aren't drumming or starting to beat the drum for Austin Matthews for MVP, are you?
No, I'm not. Okay. I do wonder where he would end up in the Hart Trophy voting.
First
but he's
of
not
all,
there.
First of all, we'll do what we want when it comes to Austin Matthews, sir. Like you can, we
you
read you a quick.
Him.
Can we read a quick statistic to you? Yeah, exactly. So, and guess what? That's the only good thing about them, the players not going to the Olympics, is we don't have to see Austin Matthews in your country's colors. Like, we don't need that. We're not ready for that.
I mean, it depends on your political leanings as far as who you're going to be rooting for then if you're American. Anyway.
Oh, that's true.
It's kind of tough to root for us these days. But anyway, beyond that, I mean, you know, Austin Matthews has been awesome with them. He's just, you mentioned where this team would be, and I don't know, just because I can't believe he's 19 years old, right? He's just 19. I mean, it's unbelievable just how polished he is, how good he is, just the way he's able to play with poise, his all-around game, just in general. He's a phenomenal hockey player. And you mentioned, like, again, how you don't know, you just almost can't envision the Maple Leafs without him because he kind of just is them now. I mean, I look at him. And I don't mean to sort of start to, you know, pump up the Maple Leafs before they've even clinched the playoffs yet, but they really just seem to me like a young version of the Blackhawks. And I know that that's been brought up a bunch, but, I mean, he's like Taves. Marner's like Kane to a degree. Maybe not to the same overall level, but it's just that's kind of how you have to see
them. Gardner's like Keith. Nope.
Yeah, well, they're built exactly that way, and obviously getting Matthews was part, you know, luck to some degree, but it's not luck that Lou Lamoriello and Brendan Shanahan have built this team kind of in a lot of ways like the team that's been the gold standard for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years in the NHL. So that's kind of how I see them, and he's to me the current sort of leader, so to speak, and the future leader as well.
Yeah, it's hard not to look at Columbus and just think about the parallels or just how close these other two teams were, like how the lottery balls fell. Like Matthews ends up being the first overall pick, and Columbus just a few picks later ends up taking Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like that's, it's been monumentally important for this franchise. And yes, no, we're not going to be making Hart. We're not trying to make the case for the Hart Trophy, but I will say this. Matthews has 31 even strength goals this season. So, like, Crosby has done that in his career once. Ovechkin's done that twice. And Stamkos has done that once. Like, it's a pretty incredible season for the kid. But, yeah, a long way off from the Hart. Speaking of guys, though, that are in the Hart conversation, or at least were for a little while, Brad Marchand looks like he's early reports, at least from people from our company, have been saying it looks like he crossed the line. It looks like he's going to get a little bit of a suspension. It's hard for me to believe that this guy continues to do this stuff. But then on the other hand, it's like he can't help himself. Like he can't stop eating the garbage. He's just a bad dog. You got to hit him on the nose, but he's just going to keep on doing it.
And it's frustrating too if you're a Bruins fan because you know how good he can be, and you know what he's become, and you know that players who are that good don't do that anymore. And it's when I saw that, I was just basically said to myself, if they lose this game, I mean, granted, they ended up winning. I mean, it really shouldn't matter one way or the other. But I almost said to myself, if they lose this game, one of my five Hart Trophy votes that I'm going to give out is not going to go to him. Mm-hmm. Because that was such a huge game for them. And he was almost lucky that they won that game. Because if they had lost, he would have been the absolute GOAT of that game. I mean, it would have been, you would have been hearing about this. And if they had lost that game, then eventually missed the playoffs, you would have been hearing about this play by Brad Marchand for a long time. Because not only did he get kicked out of that game, I mean, he still would have ended up getting a hearing with the NHL, which is going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, if
so,
they,
it's really one of those things where he's, I don't get it. because, again, we've seen how great this guy can play. And guys who are that good, like, you know, Alex Ovechkin will do something kind of ridiculous like that. But
oh, he will lay you out. He will body bag you.
Yeah, he will do that, but he won't slew foot you. He won't do what Brad Marchand did with the spear last night. He won't do the things that Brad Marchand will do. And I say this as a guy who I really love watching him play when he's on. He was stunningly good at the World Cup this year and really, to me, came on the scene as an absolutely elite force in the NHL. And you almost, as a hockey fan, you don't want to see him do that because you want to see him play. I don't want to see one of the best players in the game continuing to get suspended because he still thinks that he has to play a certain way. He doesn't anymore. He can play, you know, great free-flowing hockey still with some edge, and that's his game. He doesn't have to resort to those shenanigans, and it's frustrating as a fan, and it's got to be even more frustrating as a fan of hockey. It's got to be even more frustrating if you're a fan of the Boston Bruins to see a player do that.
Yeah, I do think it's tough for a guy like that, finding the line between just like being an agitator, being a pest, and being a guy that ends up finding himself into suspension trouble. But you're right, he's too important. And yeah, he would have been the GOAT in that Lightning game. And yes, the stakes were potentially playoffs or not. But seeding is still going to be really important for all these teams. And I think even Leaf fans had a bit of a wake-up call yesterday in terms of, you know what, you do not want to play the Washington Capitals. Like, they are President's Trophy winners for a reason. That's probably going to be the toughest out, especially considering that Chris Letang is going to be done for the rest of the season. If Boston ends up playing Washington and getting punched, their ticket punched because they lose their next two games, again, one against the Ottawa Senators, their next one, a team they are jockeying position with, I still think that narrative still exists. And I like that you mentioned Ovi because, yeah, like, you're right. Ovechkin still does play with an edge, but he's not a guy that finds himself, like, usually. I mean, I think, of course he has been suspended in his career, but it's not because of the ratty things he does. And the beauty of Ovechkin, and even when they're playing the Leafs, I'm saying, look out, Zaitsev, because I love that he still continues to top dog himself with the Russian players. Like, he really tries to set the physical tone with the other Russian guys, being like, don't forget who is master of this country. Like, that's my, I love Ovi for that stuff. And I hate it with Marchand, so you're right.
And Ovi does, again, he does some ridiculous things sometimes, but it's a cheap shot in a different sense. The cheap shot.
Yeah, he's just trying to take your head off with a huge charge.
Yeah, which isn't smart, but it's not to the same level as slew footing a guy,
right,
or taking your stick spearing and putting it in a certain location that can really hurt. I mean, it's really, and because the thing is, like, when you're hitting someone really hard, it's a split second decision that sort of makes, that can sometimes make a play go from a legal hit to an illegal hit. And yes, like, we've all seen the suspension videos that players not being eligible to be checked on certain plays. And I think that, you know, there are times an OV can forget that, but it's very, very clear. You don't spear a guy between the legs. You don't slew foot a guy. And I don't think he really does that. And he's, it is kind of funny how you mentioned how he goes up against guys like Zaitsev and, you know, Malkin and all those guys. He just wants to show that he is the best Russian hockey player, which, you know, maybe is another reason why he wants to go to the Olympics. I have no idea, but it's a fun thing to watch. He's super entertaining. I'm going to be really sad when he's not the player he once was, because it's always fun to watch him play.
Josh Cooper, our guest here on Sportsnet tonight, 12:48. Pretty harsh news today for the Pittsburgh Penguins and their hopes of repeating. Going to be tough to do it without Chris Letang. He's out long term. It's pretty obvious what this means to me, at least, is that the Washington Capitals, I mean, they were already the favorites, but now, I mean, if you're a Caps fan, you got to be super disappointed if they don't get through the East this year.
Yeah, you have to be. And one of the really interesting things, too, about this, and I was talking to someone the other day who used to work for the Dallas Stars and brought up a really good point of, you know, the one time that the Stars won the Stanley Cup, they didn't go through Detroit. Every other time they played Detroit, when Detroit was at their peak and Dallas was, and that was during those years when it was basically Detroit, Dallas, or Colorado were coming out of the West. They could never beat Detroit, but they could always beat Colorado. So with Letang out and all these other injuries that Pittsburgh has, maybe Columbus beats them. Washington obviously has to get through round one first. And then when you're Washington, Columbus obviously is not an easy matchup, but you could beat Columbus. Like, it's, they don't. There's no kind of voodoo with Columbus over the Capitals, and they don't have Sidney Crosby, and they don't have Evgeny Malkin. And you, I mean, the other thing too, though, to remember with the Capitals and the Stanley Cup and just sort of their chase for this is they've kind of come of age at a time when the great teams in hockey are not so great. And it doesn't mean that they're bad or anything. It doesn't taint the trophy at all. It's just, I wrote a story about the Detroit Red Wings and the Mike Ilitch era after he passed away. And those teams were loaded, and he didn't care what he was paying guys. He just kept loading them up. And I just look at that, and I'm like, there is no team that has nearly that type of talent in the NHL right now.
Except for the Leafs.
So as well-constructed as the Capitals are, they could still lose a seven-game series to the Boston Bruins or the Ottawa Senators. I don't think they will, but they can. And that's the one thing to kind of remember is that they got the best scoring player or the best goal scoring player and one of the best goal scoring players of all time during a time where you can't load up around him. And in some ways it's kind of been a travesty to see that happen with him. But at the same time, I mean, they may not win and I would totally get it, but they definitely should. I mean, they really are.
I don't know. I feel like they're pretty loaded, especially like considering like you look at a team like Backstrom, Oshie, Ovi, like the defense core that they've been able to put together. Braden Holtby is if there was a Team Canada Olympic team, like he'd be there. And yeah, like I get that the other teams have been able to load up, but the best players in the game, like other than them, like if you look over at Chicago, like they've been able to lock down a couple of them with Taves and Kane. And I don't really see a huge discernible difference between Ovi and Backstrom. And same thing with Malkin and Sid being able to get a couple in Pittsburgh. So I can't make that excuse for Washington. And it really does feel like this year the Letang injury is kind of the, like it's the nail in the coffin of like this is, everyone makes the joke, Caps, like that it's the Capitals' year, but this really does feel like, hey, they don't do it this year. I know they'll run it back because you don't blow up really good teams because of, you know, a bad season in the playoffs. But yeah, I don't know. This one feels like it would be worse than other years, especially with this whole Ovechkin potentially. Who knows what the hell is going to happen with Olympics?
Yeah,
we gotta go quick on this one, but I do want to get your perspective on. That the NHL players are seemingly right now doesn't look like their players are going to go to the Olympics. I've said to Dan like last couple of nights, the country I feel for the most is actually the United States because even though their games are going to come on at weird hours, it does feel like the Olympics gives a lift to hockey in the States. It really does. And now you're looking at some of these young players that are coming up like Matthews and Goudreau and Eichel. And being able to showcase those players to a national audience and say, like, look at these guys. Like, these guys are, they play incredibly fast. They're incredibly skilled. They're incredibly entertaining. Like, do you think that the States might be, out of all the countries that are not going to be able to send NHL players, that they might be at the biggest loss here?
Oh, for sure. I mean, just because this is the first time I can remember that the United States is supremely loaded, or should be supremely loaded next year for the Olympics. I mean, maybe first time since 2010 when all those 2003 draft picks kind of came of age and really became great players during that 2-week stretch and became big names in U.S. households. I mean, you mentioned Eichel and Matthews and Johnny Gaudreau, and there's so many good American hockey players, and they're also, for the first time in a long time, they're really good American hockey players in the right positions where a team needs to do well. And it's bad for them. I'm sure USA Hockey's not happy about it, but I mean, that's just, unfortunately, that the NHL made a business decision, or so we think. I mean, there's a lot of people that think it's not going to, that they're still going to end up going, but it really does impact the United States negatively the most, because I really feel like this was a time when a lot of those younger players that a lot of people in the United States don't really know about could have actually become household names, and household names for a good number of years, not just like 2 or 3.